Let's go to the 46th Psalm, which was read in your devotion this morning, in your praise time for your hearing this morning. We will use for a theme. We would look at verses 10 and 11 of the 46th Psalm. The scriptures that my theme is centered around this morning, and it reads, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Selah. Selah. This morning, we are used for a theme, whose team are you on? Just a simple question about whose team are you on. You may be seated. We come up to a time in our nation where we see our new president is selecting a team. It's very important to select the good team. I was sharing with Brother Harris this morning. We see sometimes that even when some of our athletes change teams, we get excited. It was rather disheartening to see so many grown people come to boo a basketball player because he changed team. But it's important for us to realize who is on our team. Growing up, we used to have the opportunity to select our team. Whether we were going to play football or whether we were going to play basketball, we would line up in big field and we would select our team. I always had the honor of selecting a team, but I always wanted to select a team that had the best defense. You see, a good defense is the best offense. If y'all want to know what that means, ask Brother Harris. When you go to select a team, see, the reason that the defense is so important is because the defense stops the opposition. It puts a stop to the opposition. And see, it's so important that we have a good defense. Just a good example of just one of my favorite football players is Charles Edward Green, known as Mean Joe Green. You see, the reason that I like to watch this guy, because he was the defensive player of the year in the National Football League for three years. I think it was 3 years in a row. But the reason that he was so important was because he was the one who helped establish the steel curtain with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you see, because he established the steel curtain from defense, from a defensive position, and because he established a steel curtain, the Steelers was able to win, I think it was 3 championships based on the defense, based on nobody could score against the steel curtain. So would you see, from a selection basis, you select a team that will stop the opposition. So I just stopped by here this morning to ask you this morning, not what's in your wallet, but who's on your team. You need a team. And if you don't have a good defense, then you won't have a good offense. Today I will teach that God will not fail to rescue those that love him. God would not fail to rescue you. God would not fail to give you the protection that you need in life, on life's terms. We will look at our outline very briefly this morning. Our first point is God is the defense of his saints. God is the defense of his saints. My next, that's verses 1-3, and then my next point is God is present in Zion. Verses 4-5, and then my last point is God will be exalted in the earth. And that's verses 10-11. When we look at our first outline, it says God is the defense of his saints. That means that you don't have to fight your battles. That means God fights your battles. But I just wanted you to know this morning who's on my team. I'm like Joshua, say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I just want you to know who's on my team. You know, every now and then when you're driving a car, you can blow your own horn. Am I right about it? So it says God, the first verse says God is our, I'm including you in there too if you're a child of God. It says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in a time of trouble. It says God is our refuge. God is our shelter. God is our all in all. We had planned on having a great picnic one time in the summer. We had all gotten together and everybody had brought all of their stuff out. And by the time we got ready to fire up the grills and to do everything, there came up a big storm. Lightning flashed and everything started. And the rain, we had put up the volleyball nets, and my wife and I was getting ready to beat everybody in volleyball. We were getting ready to do our thing. But all of a sudden, there came a storm. And started coming down, but then we looked over and saw a pavilion. And everybody rushed to the pavilion. And we were able to sit under this pavilion. It was rather large, but it got to be very comfortable because we were under the pavilion. We were able to sit there and watch the storm pass over. But as I was sitting there in the pavilion, I just wanted to look at this psalm and say, God is our refuge. See, the pavilion became our refuge in time of storm, in time of trouble. It says God is our refuge and strength. See, in times of trouble, in times of storm, God is going to be there for you. God will provide a shelter for you. God will take you out of the storm. And you see, if you're in God's hands, you can be able to do like we did in that park. You will be able to look out there at the storm and remain dry because God is between you and the storm. Are you out there? God is between you and the storm. God will provide that safety net. God is your refuge and strength. He was our refuge and he was our strength in that horrific storm. You see, in antiquity, they said that some kings had put up iron gates around their palace. But you know, sometimes people found a way of coming over those iron gates. They say all you need to do is come over a 20-foot gate is a 25-foot ladder. That's what somebody needs to tell our president about building a wall. All you need is a taller ladder. Simple as that, isn't it? Don't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. But then you say some kings, you know, bragged about their chariots and how many big horses they had that would pull those chariots. But in reading the Bible, that Pharaoh's chariots drowned in the Red Sea. I just stopped by here to let you know this morning that God is a better refuge. God is a better refuge than iron gates. God is a better refuge than putting all your hope in horses and chariots. God is my refuge in times of trouble. He said he's a very present help. He's a very present help. He's an on-time God. He's a very present help, Jacoby, in times of trouble. Let me tell you something about present help. See, God is present help. See, trouble is a tight place. Trouble surrounds you in a tight place. And see, just like the Hebrew boys was in the fiery furnace, they were in trouble. They were in a tight place. But you see, God is closer to you than trouble. Are you out there? God is closer. See, God comes between you and trouble. See, God lines up around you. See, God came between the Hebrew boys and the fire. And God was able to keep them from being burned because God is a present help in time of trouble. See, when you're going through trouble, see, God is closer to you than any trouble can be because God surrounds you and God gets closer to you. You walk through the valley in the shadows of death, but God is going to be with you. See, the way that the shepherd keeps the sheep safe is that he picks up the sheep and he carries the sheep close to him, close to the shepherd. And when the sheep is close to the shepherd, there is no dangerous animal that can devour the sheep because the shepherd has the sheep close to him. God is closer to you. He will immune you from any trouble that you may have. God is your very present help. You may have some trouble, but I just want you to know he's a right now God. He's an immediate God. He's your present help in time of trouble. Yeah. And it says, God is going to protect you. It says, therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Sometimes things are going to be so overwhelming. Sometimes the things are going to look so bad to you that you're not going to know which way to go, because sometimes when God looks at it, it says, therefore, we would not fear, though the earth be removed. And when the earth is done away with, and then when the mountains are cast into the sea, when we look at Mount Everest, it stands 29,035 feet above sea level. It's supposed to be, Mount Everest is supposed to be the tallest mountain in the world. But I just want you to know, when Mount Everest crumbles into the sea, when all of these things happen to you, when things that you think are stable have become unstable, when all of the earth shakes, when all of this stuff is going on around you, when the mountains are shaking and the seas are overflowing, when all this stuff is happening to you in life, I just want you to know, you don't have to fear. You don't have to fear, because it says, therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed. And you know, at the end time, the earth is going to be done away with. All that stuff is going to be happening, but you won't have to be afraid when everything around you that looks good and act good is now unstable. But I just want you to know that there's a rock in a weary land. I just want you to know that God is a stabilizing force. When the tsunami comes. You know that word start with a T. I don't know why. TSU. When the tsunami comes, that's when all this water come up out of the ocean and take over the land. When the earthquakes start shaking the earth. When the hurricanes come and destroy town after town. When tornadoes come. When all of this stuff, once you get up in the morning and you realize you were stable yesterday, but everything you have is unstable. God is letting you know that he's got your back. When everything you think about, when life on life's terms becomes shaky. I got a call Friday morning. One of the ministers that I used to minister with got up on Friday morning, 59 years old, had a heart attack, fell dead in his bedroom, left his wife and three children. Everything that they thought was stable is now unstable. Sometimes we get calls in the middle of the night. Everything that we think is stable in our lives can become unstable. when life becomes unstable on life's terms. Keep on living. Keep on living, and it's going to happen. Keep on living, and the things that you think are stable going to become unstable when your health becomes unstable. One day you're looking good and doing all this stuff, and then all of a sudden everything is unstable. When your finances become unstable, when you're looking around and you think you're doing all this good stuff, and all of a sudden there's more money than you got money. All of this stuff is happening, and you can see it going on. Everything that you thought was stable has become unstable when your marriage. Lady told me that she got up one morning, fixed the breakfast, and her husband came down to sit and eat and say, "Honey, by the way, I want a divorce." Hallelujah. When everything that you thought was stable has become unstable, God is telling you, "I have your back. You have nothing to fear because you are my child." When your job moved to Mexico. Y'all laughing. Go to work one day, then now they don't even tell you, they email you. And you didn't check your emails that morning, and you got to work and the plant is gone. And you had about 4 more weeks before you retire. Everything that you thought was stable has become unstable. And Lord have mercy. We have so many people that minds have become unstable. Ladies say she saw her husband fumbling around in the bathroom one morning. He got up, but he had forgotten how to brush his teeth. Came out, he couldn't even recognize his grandchildren. Didn't even know who they were. Everything that was stable, all of a sudden it had become unstable. Look out. Mount Everest, so tall, so beautiful, crumbles into the sea, 29,000 feet above sea level. But God said, "Don't you worry, Shannon. Don't you worry about the tsunamis. Don't you worry about the earthquake. Don't you worry about the hurricane. Don't you worry about the tornadoes." He said, "I got your back. Don't you fear." And it said, "Though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." And then he says, "Selah." That word Selah means pause. All this stuff is happening, Shannon. All this stuff is going on. The mountains are shaking, the seas are swelling, all this stuff is going on. But I want you to take a break. I want you to take a break and tune up your musical instruments. Selah. I want you to take a break. And see, also that Selah means you take a break and then you pray and then you meditate. See, you have to take a break from all this stuff that's going around. You just have to take a break and say, Selah. Pause for a minute. Put it on pause and take a break, because God said, "I want you to take a break and meditate. Meditate on what I'm telling you. Don't be afraid of all this stuff. Take a break. Tune up your instruments. Tune up everything so you can play it a little better. Go to rehearsal. Tune up everything. But take a break and meditate. Recall up the words that I've given to you. Selah." And then it says, "There is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God and the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High." In Jerusalem, there was no river. But we see that in most cities, rivers are very important, because the river is where most cities are able to do their agriculture. Rivers are where most cities are able to have trading posts. But God said, in Jerusalem, He said, "There is a river." He said, "Don't worry about not having a river that's going to provide for you." God said, "I am your river. I am your living water. I am the water that you drink, that you are thirst no more. I am your river. I would provide for you. I am the river." Are you out there? It says there is a river. There people say Jerusalem, no, but there is a river. I want you to know this morning, there is a river in your house. There is a river that will provide for you. See, part of your salvation is God's protection and God's provision. God's protection and will provide for you. Part of your salvation is how God is going to, you're going to get benefits from being saved. It's not just saving you from sins, but it's also giving you God's protection. Giving you God's protection. See, the thing that you don't want to do, you don't want God to withdraw his protection. Hold that point, because I got a point to make when I go on down. You don't want God to withdraw his protection. I'm just going to tell you something. Now, God can whoop you, but as long as he's whooping you, he got his hands on you. But when God stop whooping you and turn his back on you, hallelujah, you ain't never been whooped until God allows your enemies to whoop you. I wish you could hear me this morning. And then it says, God is in the midst of her. He shall not be moved. God shall help her. In that right early. See, God is in the midst of Jerusalem. God is in the midst. And see, when God is in the midst of you, see, when you are Christ-centered, there's nothing that can hurt you. There's nothing that can take away from you. Every time you have a situation in life, it's going to attack your center. But if God is in the midst of you, God say, I'm in the midst of Jerusalem. I'm in the midst of this town. So there's nothing that can come upon Jerusalem. And as long as Jerusalem had God in the midst of her, nothing went wrong. But you see, Jerusalem decided to turn their back on God and start worshiping idol gods. See, when you turn your back on God, he allowed the Babylonians to come in and take over the city. He allowed the Babylons to come in and take the Jerusalem captive and take her best young men and take them back to Babylon and have them. Oh, you remember Daniel had them take them all back and all of the stuff that they had, the cups and all of that stuff that Nebuchadnezzar and them used. But I just want you to know that as long as God is in the midst of you. Yeah. I was talking to a young man. He was doing pretty good. He had a good job. Had a beautiful home, had a good wife. They just had a young baby. He had a nice car. He was living a good life. But all of a sudden, he walked away from God. Lost his job, lost his wife, lost his house, lost his car. Had to move in with relatives, and I see him driving around with old clothes on, driving a relative car. But see, that's what happened when you walk away from God. That's what happened when you allow stuff to get in your way of you loving God. If God is your source of significance, if God is your power, if God is your refuge, why in the world would you leave your refuge and go out there in the midst of a storm? In the midst of a storm. That 10th verse says, be still. Stop all the running around. Stop all the talking. Stop all the arguing with God. He said, be still. Be still. Don't move. My wife tell me when I take my blood pressure, say, don't move. See, if you move, you're going to mess it up. So I have to sit there and don't move. But God is telling you, be still. Shannon, shut up. Be still. He told him in Lamentations, the 3rd chapter, in the 20th and 29th verse, he said, shut up. Put your mouth in the sand and get the hope of God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I will be exalted among the heathens. Be still and watch all of this stuff that's going on. Look at the mountain shaking and the sea roar. Be still and know all of that stuff is going to happen. But I just want you to know that I got your back. Be still. Sometimes we talk too much. Sometimes we don't have anything to say. but we keep on talking. Sometime our sermon is over, but we keep on preaching. That's a preaching joke. I had to laugh at that one myself. Y'all doing right, don't you?
Yes, sir.
But sometimes, and I love my time in prayer and meditation. That's where I get most of my sermons. That's where I get my vision from. I love my prayer and meditation. When I come over here to work, I don't turn on nothing. I don't answer no phone. I go to my daily bread, and I read. I read my meditation for the day. I be still. I be still and know that He's God. I be still and realize that He has patterned out this day. He has mapped out the day for me. I'm going to be still and I'm going to know that He's God. I'm going to put Him in the front of everything that I say and everything that I do. Sometimes trouble is all around us. Sometimes we may even want to argue with God. Sometimes things happen to us that we get so worried and we get so frustrated. But all of a sudden, we just have to be still. And know that He's God. Because every knee gonna bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. Be still and know that He's God. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of all of the angels, the Lord of all of the hosts is with us. I don't have to be afraid. I can walk through the valleys and the shadows of death because the God of hosts. I'm never afraid because the Lord of hosts. He's got all the angels. He's got all the heavenly hosts. The God of hosts is with us. Emmanuel, He is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Take a time to pause. Take some time to pause. You know, while I'm on this sport thing, every team has a cheerleader. Cheerleaders. My daughter used to be a cheerleader. And the man, because I used to watch her, the thing about them cheerleaders, churches need them too. Because what cheerleaders would do, the game could be lost. The team, your team could be in the fourth quarter, and their team could be, another team could be done beat you all, and the cheerleaders be gone, letting you know, we can do it, we can do it, rah, 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 we can go, Michelle know what I'm talking about, we can go, the fourth quarter, your team done lost, but the cheerleaders is going to say, hold that line, and don't let them go, hold that line, cheerleader, cheerleader, everybody needs a cheerleader, the cheerleaders want you to know that you can do it, you can make it, you can do it, the cheerleaders, the team is out there so far behind, but the cheerleaders are cheering them on. The cheerleaders are still giving them hope. Yeah. Am I right, Michelle? Yeah. Michelle's cheerleader. See, let me tell you something. We need some cheerleaders in church. We don't need these sad folk in church. We need some cheerleaders in church. I pray every Sunday that when folk come in here with broken hearts and broken lives, that they would sit next to somebody that can encourage them, somebody that they would see praise in God. And because your praise is contagious, because your praise is contagious, they would get caught up in your praise. Because of what they see in you, they would want to serve your God. Because of what they see in you, we need some cheerleaders in the church. We need the people to cheer. It may be the fourth quarter in somebody's life. It looks like the game is over, but the cheerleaders are still saying, we can win. Hold that line, and don't let them go. Defense, defense, defense. Come on, cheerleaders, cheer with me. We need some cheerleaders in the church to encourage people, to help them to go on when they can't go on. Are you out there? Will you sign up today to be a cheerleader at People's Community Church? We need some folk to sign up. We need some folk to sign up. Are you out there? Are you out there this morning? Are you out there? I just stopped by to let you know whose team or who is on your team. I told you he's on my team. The Lord is my refuge and strength. He's a vessel present help in time of trouble. Some of you don't know nothing about no trouble. You ain't never been in trouble. See, I've been in trouble. You ain't never been in no trouble. I've been in trouble. And I know he's a vessel present help in time of trouble. I've been knocked down. But all I had to look up and call on Almighty God. That's why you don't know what I'm talking about. He's a way maker out of no way. He's bread in a starving land. Let me tell you something. He looked up and saw Zacchaeus in that tree. And he didn't, and just because Zacchaeus was up there in that tree, he didn't let people silence him. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going home with you.